Hey there and welcome back. I'm Lucy Barkas and this is the Leader X podcast, the future of work. In my book, Leader X, a call for X generation leaders to step up, take control and lead with impact, I share the five my's of leading organizations and teams. My legacy is all about getting clear about what you want to create, the impact you want to have on your people, customers, and the world around you. Ultimately, your purpose. It's the opportunity to dream a little bigger, craft a clear vision, and to strategize. But how do you do this when the world is so unpredictable and fast changing? In this series, I welcome futurists, people who hang out in the possibilities of the future of work, and I ask them about what's coming up, from branding to AI, automation and culture, products to talent development, nothing is off limits. The goal is to inspire you, challenge you, and help you think bigger about your impact, your legacy. Head to the website to sign up to the 3WH newsletter, where those who are serious about leadership now and in the future will get all the tools, tips, and methods to be the leader they wish they'd had. Coming up, how discussing a scone or a scone, jam first or cream, can actually bring teams together. Now, today we have two great guests, both seasoned entrepreneurs with over 20 years experience. Asya Baig is the founder of Centenary Lounge, a 1930s railway-inspired cafe and restaurant. Her journey in retail started many years ago, and then she diversified into the hospitality sector, which she feels is where she should have always been. She's been through many recessions, pivoted and changed over this time, but the last 12 months have been a challenge. And then we've got Jane Mallion, founder of the English Tea Company, an expert in the tea time traditions with video audiences of 650,000 and even holds a Guinness World Record for the largest ever tea party. Her best-selling book, Scone or Scone, The Essential Guide to British Afternoon Tea, ensures you your afternoon tea etiquette. Now, I've invited Asya and Jane into the show today because we're a year into this COVID pandemic now, and many leaders I speak to are still struggling to keep their teams connected and engaged. In all honesty, they're zoomed out and they dread the idea of yet another online quiz. They want to connect their people and find ways to show their appreciation. Now, one idea that keeps coming up is this eating together, whether it's cook-alongs or having a curry together, sending gifts of appreciation and sharing moments, and sending little hampers or afternoon teas is just perfect. And that's exactly what Asya and Jane do. So I want to share their thoughts, hear what they've been up to, and to pick their brain, so to speak, about why hampers and little gifts are what we all need. So I'm delighted to say hello to Jane and Asya. Hello.
Oh, hi.
Hello. No, it's really great to have you here. And there's still so much distance, but actually through the power of things like Zoom and Teams, we can still feel connected. And really that's what this episode of the podcast is really all about. So before we go into what you actually do and how leaders can maybe use your services or similar services, I just want to know a little bit about how you've been coping over the last 12 months and whether you've been able to pivot and diversify, because I did say in my bio you have both been in business for over 20 years, so you've seen pivots and changes and diversification before, and you're still here to tell the tale. So if I start with Jane, why don't you tell us a little bit about, well, what is your business and then what's been going on for you in the last year?
Oh, bless. Thank you, Lucy. Well, until over a year ago, we had two businesses. We ran a wedding venue, a large Tudor venue for up to 300 people. And at that time, our side hustle was the English Cream Tea Company, which sends out deliciousness, mostly afternoon tea hampers, but all sorts of things all over the country. And also over a year ago, all over Europe as well. a big change has happened. So first of all, Brexit has scuppered us reaching Europe with our hampers. In fact, we have two stuck in Leipzig right now where they've been for 6 weeks. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want to eat an afternoon tea after it's been in customs for 6 weeks. So we've given up on Europe for the moment, as has John Lewis, as have Tiptree, all sorts of people. But I hope that'll come good. But one of the big changes with lockdown was we lost our wedding business. It went almost overnight. In fact, I still can't see a time when you could have 300 people to a wedding. It's just not on the horizons. And we stood it out. We hung on for many, many months and then in the end had to fold. So we lost a business altogether. But coincidentally, the English Cream Tea Company went mental. It was like a tap turned on. And the British public were astonishing because the moment they were separated from their colleagues and their teams and their relatives and their friends, all they wanted to do was an outpouring of affection and caring. And nothing says a hug, I have to tell you, than afternoon tea in a box arriving at your doorstep from smoked salmon onwards. And so we did, in the first month of lockdown, the entire previous year's turnover.
Wow.
Wow.
That's
really good.
It went mental.
And as it continued, you know, is the appetite still there for gifts?
So right through the year, there was a tiny lull for a few days when the first lockdown lifted. That didn't last a moment. And then right up to Mothering Sunday, even the week leading up to Mothering Sunday, we did 300 gifts in 1 week. We're a tiny company. There's only three of us that work here. So you can't imagine how busy that makes us. But the tap is turning off now. We'll see whether it stays turned off or whether this business is so sensitive to lockdown and the emotions it brings in people and the need to feel connected. Connectedness is so important. And we seem to be a solution to that. So whether we are, Johnny come lately business and the moment lockdown's over, nobody ever hears from us, I don't know. But it's been an extraordinary year and we've done 6 years turnover, more than that, in 1 year.
Oh, well, that's huge. Congratulations. And the fact that, you know, you have been in business for so long and with all the twists and turns, this pivoting or diversifying, you've got to think like this. And now with you, you opened your wonderful restaurant, 2019, was it? Had a year under your belt, so to speak. And you've got the coffee shops at train stations and then no travel was allowed. So how has it been for you and what have you been up to keep going?
Well, I think Centenary Lounge has been up and running since 2009. So we have been in stations and our main core business has been around, people coming into town centres, shopping, commuting, office goers, leisures, and all of those industries were all just, closed completely. So suddenly we found that our railway stations, first of all, we had to close up anyway because we were cafes predominantly. But we also had the sort of takeaway side of things closed off because no one was actually entering the stations. So we had that scenario. And then Worcester, we had opened up literally in April 2019, so we hadn't done a full year yet. We were approaching our anniversary, and the whole of 2019 was spent on actually getting people into booking in for events, whether it was hen parties and all sorts of things, birthday parties, christenings, anniversaries, and suddenly we were getting people in, and we had a diary that was quite booked up until the end of April. And we were really thinking, right, fantastic, this is really taking off, I'm really glad. We had your book signing event.
We did, actually, yes. My book launch was supposed to, the launch still happened on the 26th of March 2020, but it was going to be held. And I remember having the conversations with you just saying, we just can't do it. And then the 23rd of March happened, and it was like, we definitely can't do it.
No, that's right. So everything obviously closed and there was no events going on. And because we hadn't set up a delivery and system as such, because that was something that we had thought about, funnily enough, in January 2019. And we thought, OK, that's something that we need to set up as part of our franchise offering, which we'll do in the next couple of years. So 2 months later, we're sort of going, right, OK, where were we with our conversations back in January? I think we need to fast track that and bring that straight into now. But because we didn't have that business already set up or that platform not set up, we spent quite a lot of time, I think the first 4 or 5 weeks, essentially, even though it was a very quick pivot, we still had to put systems into place. Menus and how, what would travel and what wouldn't travel. And there were certain things that we thought might travel well and realized, okay, they're not going to travel well. So we had to pull them back. So we almost had an experimental good couple of months while still offering that service and connection. So for us, being quite new in Worcester, we didn't want to lose that connection with our customers. We had to cut back on staff and we put a lot of our teams on furlough anyway. But then from Birmingham, when we realised that this could carry on quite a long time, we had to lose some staff on that front. But anyway, so we started with our deliveries and collections. And then come June, July time, we started doing more takeaways and collections. And we realized afternoon teas were one of our biggest sellers. And they were the biggest things that brought people together. They loved the idea. And it was very funny because probably a year or two before this, I had a brief conversation with Jane saying, we'll have a conversation about this and we'll see what we can do. And at that point, I thought we'll do some sort of a collaboration because that wasn't our core business. And then I had nothing else to do except was to ship out my own afternoon teas because the main core businesses were closed. So we thought, right, I have to just get on with it and get this out there. But it's so, you know, we're social beings and it is food and drink that bring people together. So no matter, even if we are sat behind laptops and closed doors and in our own spaces, it's still food and drink that we end up having a chat over, whether it's a cup of tea and a biscuit or whatever it might be, something as simple as that. But then he was more about thinking, well, how can you make this moment special again? Mm. How do we create that specialness and delightfulness between whether it's family or workers as well with their teams? How do we create that? And I think the cream teas and the hampers and the picnic boxes, they are the ones that really sort of took off really well. We were quite surprised. May, June, we weren't expecting to do that well because we had just set up and we thought, well, not many people are going to notice us. And it's but we were quite surprised. Very
well, I think there's also something about both of your businesses. When you send your hampers, your afternoon teas, your scones or scone out to the recipient, it's not just in a box. It's dressed beautifully. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes the edge. When you receive something that looks so beautiful and then tastes beautiful as well, it actually shows that the person who sent it has done it with love. Mm. They haven't just nipped down the local corner shop and posted something in a box. It's been done with care. It's a bit special. And let's face it, when we've all been stuck at home, whether it's your son or your mother or your boss, who has taken the time to order something and send it to you dressed beautifully like that, it just shows I'm remembered, I'm cared about. Mm. So yes. Let's just take a moment just to think about the employee experience. Have you been serving businesses for these get-togethers just to show that people care? So Jane, is that part of, you know, your core part of your business?
Yes, again, it didn't really exist a year ago. And now, maybe half our business is on Zoom meeting goodies, but also not just meetings, but the award ceremonies and the annual ceremonies that were going to take place at such and such a hall and now are spread remotely. And so sometimes they want a dinner delivered or cocktails or canapés. Wow. So I mean, our former life was as wedding caterers, so we're not just afternoon tea people. My husband's a chef, so we can turn our hands to other things. We've got the giant cauldron and the very big ovens and things, and we know how to package items so that they arrive safely, chilled, at the right temperature, and not a smushed mess, because nobody wants a smushed mess. So, yes, Zoom meetings in particular became a thing. It hit within a week of lockdown. We started getting requests. And one of the ways the employers can show care is if they've taken the trouble to find out who's gluten-free, who doesn't like English breakfast tea, who doesn't drink tea at all, who doesn't want fruit in their sultanas, all sorts, in their scones, and so on. So we get these checklists. In fact, we get extraordinary spreadsheets, and sometimes things we just don't need to know. I got sent a spreadsheet with everybody's T-shirt size. I'm sorry, I don't think I need to know that. Somebody doesn't eat pomegranates. Well, no, I don't need to know that. Somebody didn't eat venison. No, that's not in our afternoon tea. So come on. And so the detail that we receive is quite extraordinary. But I feel it's all part of the way that we can tend for people. We can show care. And for the boss that goes to that trouble, I think that's charming. You know, if they've got, say, Indian people who don't want alcohol, or people are going through some sort of religious festival at the time and we need to market. So I'm all for that. Anything that is a sort of a touch point of kindness and showing that you've been thought of. I mean, taking it to its basics, making a cup of tea for someone when you are allowed back with people and finding out how they like it. My husband has tea that is virtually white. It is so full of milk. It's would you like some tea with your milk? And me, I have half a teaspoon of milk in a whole cup of tea. I have it almost dot. Well, there's no point presenting me with a milky white ookie one because I can't drink it and so on. So even the act of finding out how somebody likes something is part of the way we show care. And it's come out through these Zoom deliveries. So we make them as bespoke as we can, if that's what makes the difference to that person. And of course, the gift message that goes inside from the boss. So yes, detail. The devil is in the detail. And we pride ourselves on trying to meet up with what's required.
Oh, no, I absolutely love it, because whenever I receive one of those unexpected gifts as well, so that if it's completely impromptu and I didn't know it was coming, and I just think, that's such care. But then also there is something quite special about breaking bread together. So even if you are on Zoom and you're there sharing and even having discussions about, is it a scone or a scone? Or what do you put your cream on first? And all of those little discussions, actually, they're fun icebreakers, because again, a lot of the leaders are coming to me saying, can you give me a new icebreaker? I just don't know what to do. Well, just get some food. That's a great, you know, just break bread together, yes, which I think is wonderful.
If I could just pop back in on that. Sorry, Essie, I won't be long. So we offer a Tea at the Palace etiquette test at the beginning of your Zoom meeting. Because if it is afternoon tea that's been delivered, I wouldn't do it if we delivered dinner. But if they've got the scones and so on, and it's hilarious because nobody knows the answers to all of them. There is a correct way, for example, to stir your tea.
Oh, wow.
In fact, yes, if you were to show me, I guarantee you wouldn't show me the correct way because it's so unusual. And so, of course, it's not about snobbery. It's not about who thinks they've been brought up right. And nobody's going to get these right. But it is hilarious. Everybody looking at each other, you know, and whether they say scone, whether they say scone, do they add butter as well? And the etiquette, such as if you've got a cherry stone in your mouth and you're in nice surroundings, so you can't go all Henry VIII, you know, none of that. What is the correct way to deal with it? And I give them options. What do you think, Lucy?
Oh, come on. What are the options then? Give me a hand.
Okay, so the option, teaspoon and then onto your plate, napkin corner and then curled up in the napkin, into your hand and then onto your plate.
Oh, now you see, my first instinct would be the napkin. But actually, I'm thinking if I was in a really posh restaurant, actually, I might use, I think about using the teaspoon. But my gut instinct was that the napkin. Go on, tell me, am I a heathen? Would I be kicked out of Savoy?
Yes, you're officially a heathen. So it's bizarre, because who knows it is correct to use your hand?
Oh,
nobody
really?
Knows that. Yes, exactly. Oh, really? And of course, it sets off the whole Zoom meeting.
Wonderful.
And we have hilarity. And then we choose who's the most royal. And I send them a copy of my book, Scone or Scone. It's called Scone or Scone, because they pass the most questions. But yes, it's all about breaking bread, but also breaking the ice.
I hope you're enjoying the podcast. So don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. It all helps. And catch up on previous episodes. And coming up in future episodes, we hear Mary Williams talk about creating balance in leadership. And also Rob Brady talks about taking care of your mental health. So just tell me, Asya, in terms of how you've been serving businesses to connect with their staff, what kind of requests have you had?
Yes, so again, very much like Jane, it was about Zoom parties. And the biggest order we had was for about 65 boxes. So logistically, that was getting them out at a certain time, at a certain on a certain date, and making sure all the dietary requirements and everything else while the restaurant was actually open in December. That was probably one of the most challenging parts, but also most of the fun parts. We learned so much in that one delivery. We learned an absolute awful lot. And what Jane was mentioning about spreadsheets, I remember looking through going, no, I think we shouldn't have just had an A4 piece of paper. That was not going to work. We need a system in place very, very quickly for all of these things. Otherwise, we're almost sort of, I was double checking everything off. And again, we asked all those questions, dietary requirements, vegetarian, vegan, and even sort of preferences as well. Is there something that they don't like? Because there's nothing, you know, horrifying. You open something up and you really don't detest something, and you've got that in the box in front of you. You can set the mood for that event. So we thought we'll ask all those questions, but how we actually did it wasn't quite quite right. We got there, and no one was disappointed, except for I think there were a couple, but we managed to get some vouchers out to them and then some afternoon teas out to them later. But we managed to resolve that situation. But again, it was more about taking that care and making sure that they are looked after, and it's your after service. So you learn from these mistakes that you make, and it's all, and it's something that we didn't do. And I think that's what it showed. Because generally, when you set up a business, the first 3 or 4 months, you're literally looking at how things will be delivered, how they'll be received on the other side. And I like to make sure everything's gone out properly. Attention to detail, which is very much so. Have we got enough ice packs in the packaging? Is this going to be all right? And I would still worry after they were dispatched. Until I've heard some reviews back, and then I'll sort of sit back and go, oh, okay, that was a success.
Because of course, normally, yeah, when you set up a business, you do all the planning before you launch. And then
that's right.
But for both of you, you've been thinking on your feet all the way through this and adapting and pivoting.
That's
and I
right.
guess it's also looking at the date calendars that are coming up. So obviously Easter, and I've seen on your social media, Asya, that a little bunny is in little the centenary or the Great Western Cups, and it looks so adorable. But as a business owner, I suppose you've always got to think 2-3 even a year in advance almost.
That's correct.
Normally. But now you are the same as the normal business leaders, you know, working in corporates and things like that. But actually you have to be in the moment here and now. So how have you managed that, you know, the thinking on your feet, but also being able to strategize about 6 months' time, 12 months? Is it
so we're a small, it's been a challenge. And I think that's the part that's been the biggest challenge, because we've not had all the people with us as well carrying out the day-to-day routines. There's a lot of them that have been in furlough, and as a business leader, cash flow was obviously going to be the biggest problem, not having your main stores open and the stations still suffering terribly because of everyone working from home. So looking at all of those scenarios, you and setting up a new arm of the business, so to speak, and then you don't want to rush it and actually offer a quality service in line with what you're already doing. Otherwise, you dilute your brand and what you are about. And that was so important to make sure all of that was aligned. So I've been trying to keep up. But in hindsight, I think everything should be set up at least 3 months before. Mm. So Easter, we were setting it up sort of 3-4 weeks before. That actually should have been done before Christmas, more or less. So we know exactly what the packages are, what the offering will be, and we can photograph them. So thinking ahead, again, it's a learning curve. I would give ourselves a little bit more time to get the campaigns and the advertising and the message across. But I wanted to create something different than we've had the different flavoured scones, etc., with our Easter collection this time around, which actually started to take off, which is really lovely. But we wanted to sort of have chocolate and, you know, biscuits and everything else that would make a proper tea time affair. With the Easter offerings and not just the chocolate. So our crockery, because it's such a gorgeous classic black and white design, and they're replicas of originals, they sort of complement all those colours because it's so simple, with just a black logo and the black leaf pattern, and then you've got everything else which is so colourful and bright. It complements each other. So we've the packaging just looks great.
And I think what's really lovely from, again, from a leader's point of view, if you've given somebody something to eat, they've also, after they've enjoyed that moment, they've also got a reminder. So whether it is the teacup or an egg cup, or they've got the wicker basket there,
yes,
or whatever it is, there's almost like a lasting reminder of your love almost, which yes. I really love.
Oh, I love that. That's a nice way to put it.
I love that.
I'm going to coin that.
Use it. That's fine. So Jane, bye Lucy. Yes.
Bye Lucy.
But so Jane, one of the things that, a number of my peers are saying to me is, we're all zoomed out and, you know, we've done all these big mass events. And there's things that I've been trying to encourage them to do about things like notice the special events that are going on with your members of staffs in their own diary. So special birthdays. Is there a baby shower coming up? Is there a you know, have they done a great piece of work and you just want to do a thank you? So it makes it even more personal. Now, is that something that, you know, is it affordable? Is it something that you can offer just, you know, single products, I guess?
So affordability is interesting because people have a perception of what a cream tea might cost and they might base it on some greasy spoon cafe they've had one in, which is completely different to us being able to package something up and send it from here to Glasgow. That's a whole different ball game. And so really we should have been called the afternoon tea, the elegant afternoon tea company, because by the time you add in the packaging, we're far from the greasy spoon. But I did get an inquiry this week for 1,000 afternoon teas a day, 1,000 a day, every day, 7 days a week, delivered to London for 3 sandwiches, 3 types of cake, 2 scones, cream and jam. And their budget, including delivery, was £4.50.
Wow.
Wow. Wow,
unbelievable. Wow. Yeah, they need to go and get some factory down somewhere where it's just, production line
That's
stuff.
That's not going to happen.
No, totally. So and that doesn't give the personal impact either. And that's what for the leaders I'm trying to talk to about this. It's about the personal impact. So the mass effect, it's a lovely idea, but that's not really what is going to connect you on a level.
That's not working for us. So one thing we did at Christmas, we had a large client who wanted to send out treats to over 300 corporate clients. And we wanted something that would make them stand out, because at Christmas, certain sorts of professions like legal and accountancy and so on probably do receive quite a lot of gifts. And so we had a bespoke tea made in their honour. We have our own blends of tea and created their own tin with their company name on. And so it was, you know, the company name's tea. And because tea lasts a long time, it will have been in the client's cupboard for months. Every time they opened the cupboard, there would be this bespoke tea from, you know, like Lucy's tea or whatever. So that went down a storm. I mean, we couldn't do it for a single order because the cost of creating it would be too great. But we loved being able to personalize it in that way and tailor it. Sometimes we do baby showers and other things for offices. And we even make word search puzzles based on what the office does, because there's an app online and you can put words in and it turns it into a word search. So we can make one bespoke to the company for them to have with their cup of tea. So budget-wise, they may literally be sending some shortbread and tea. It may be just a very little gift, a touch. It may be through to a full-on £150 afternoon tea hamper with all the bells and the whistles, which is fabulous and a great big touch. But sometimes just a little touch will do. I mean, slightly veering out of the business world. In the first month of lockdown, we had a chap who ordered 10 afternoon tea hampers for his neighbours in his street.
The message was...
Yes, we'll help each other get through this, hang on there, or something sweet like that. And because it was all in one village, we drove them there ourselves. We didn't use a courier. We just went round, yes, it's that house there, thank him, you know. But businesses have also been doing the touch points. And sometimes it's for a meeting. Sometimes it's simply about saying, thank you. Mm-hmm. We so appreciate what you're doing. You know, you are remembered. You're not forgotten. We haven't seen you in months, but we love you. Fabulous. I'd love to receive one. I might send me one.
and to be fair, this is the, from my experience from working in, you know, big business, the leaders that I loved or that, you know, even on occasions where I probably stayed 6 months, 12 months longer than I'd planned to, it was because they showed care towards me. So little things like, you know, I'd have a little Easter egg on my desk when I'd went in, or at Christmas, there'd be just a little handwritten thank you card. And those little things, it didn't need to be all year and you didn't have to think of an activity to keep people engaged every week. So it almost became robotic. It was actually the unexpected every now and then that really made the difference. And so that I know that works for me. And even for me, one of my neighbours, she's got a teenage girl and she brought some homemade brioche and just knocked on the door and I'd never met her before. And it's those little touches. Oh, I know. It's just wonderful. So let's think about the year ahead, though, because we're going to, and I know this is true, some people are going to rush to get back to the office. And that's a perfect opportunity, you know, because on those first few days when people are coming back, it's not just going to be business as usual. You need to help integrate. And some of that might be getting lunch in or doing something, you know, to help integrate again. But there's also going to be occasions where a lot of companies are not going to go back to work in the office space, but there's going to be hybrids as well. So you might be having that meeting, but some will be at home, some will be in the office. So what would you recommend in a way to try and, you know, from September onwards, let's say, of a good way to integrate? If there was one top tip you would give, Jane, and then I'll come to Asya, so give you some time to think, what top tip would you have to keep your team together and engaged this year?
Okay, well, you're absolutely right about the word connectedness. It's a fundamental. I used to do neuro-linguistic programming, the NLP stuff, and connectedness is the mat that we walk upon. It's everything. And that's been somewhat shattered. So the ways of mixing people together. And so you may have to still do some Zooming, but some people will be in their own homes, some will be in the office. And there may be something we can do to connect them together. It may be food, or treats. It may even be a mug with the office thing on it. Everybody's got to sip something. I mean, there's been a Zoom joke about as you sip your tea on the Zoom meeting, you know, blow into it, and nobody will realise it's wine.
You've given my secret away.
So even something like that, get your drink of choice for 11 o'clock, you know, and we'll join together. And that, those sorts of things can be hilarious. And finally, we've been sending out for some teams, we've got home-baked scone or scone kits. And we send out the mix to make your own, along with the jam and the accompaniments. And then everybody has to pre-bake, doing their best, before the meeting. Then they have to show what they've produced, which are hilarious, because some have come out flat like biscuits and they're burnt, and others are like this tall and fluffy and look how mine did, because it depends how they were cooked and handled. That's been hilarious. So anything that will be bringing people together and laughing and connecting over the airways, it gets my thumbs up.
Wonderful. No, I'm with you there. And I might steal that idea of the cook along. Asya, what advice would you give as, you know, how to keep people connected in the year ahead?
Well, food and drink, it goes without saying that that's basically what we do. And then that brings people together, whether it's so September onwards, whether you're, like you said, working from home or working in an office. And I was thinking that the other day, there will be a change on the high street, so to speak. There will be some people in the office, some people at home. And how do you sort of connect to that? And I was wondering whether to use, for example, our upstairs space for them to come out and just have maybe a social distant lunch. Maybe that might be a way to actually get them out of their offices and their homes if they're living local, and give them a chance to actually get together for that little period of time. I'm guessing there might still be, even though we're saying that social distancing regulations will sort of expire after June, that might not still be the case, I say tentatively.
I'll have to. Yeah, we're used to sirens, don't worry. But I think you're absolutely right in that sense, that even if the offices are shut, people are going to still want to, you know, have find a way to come together. Yeah, so even if they live in the same town, then why can't they go to a coffee shop or a restaurant and have that meeting there, even
that's
if you've
right.
got a physical office? And if there is the you know,
definitely
geographical location, then of course just jump on and actually just have those conversations over a tea, over a coffee.
Absolutely.
I love that idea. Yeah.
And we've got, we're setting up a click and collect service anyway, and that is keeping that actual notion in mind, how people's behaviours will change. But we, again, we're social beings. We need company. We need to be with each other. Otherwise, it affects our happiness.
Yes, it really does.
It really does get us down. So even the introverts, they still need a dose of something every now and then to give them that, you know, that
And I've got to say, my podcast has been my saviour this year, because I started it last winter, so it was January, February 2020. I was recording it just as a promotion for my book. And then as soon as lockdown hit, I thought, well, I've got the technology, I know what I'm doing now, I'm just going to go and talk to people. And I'm so glad that I have, because not only am I connecting with people through the podcast, I get to talk to lovely people like you. And it's been an absolute pleasure. I've loved having you on. And it's the first time I've done a dual one like this, so it's been awesome.
Oh, it's been fantastic. And it was great to meet Jane as well.
Yes.
I know, in a different setting than we had actually hoped for, but it's still lovely to meet.
Yeah, finally bring us together.
Exactly. You brought us together.
Yes, exactly. And so just tell people, so I'll come to Asya first. If people wanted to find out more about what you do, where would they find you?
So they can find us on our website, which is centenarylounge.com. We're on most social media platforms. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can find me personally on LinkedIn as Asya Baig. You can also find Centenary Lounge as a company on there. We are setting up Pinterest. I keep calling it interest and it's not. just so we've got some visual pictures of our gorgeous hampers and afternoon teas and what we do internally as well. And I think that would be quite nice with the gorgeous Art Deco interiors and, you know, a hark back to the railways on the 1930s. I think it'd be quite a nice platform to have. So, yes, they can get in touch either through any of those platforms or just email me if you need any inquiries or talk to.
Wonderful. And what about yourself, Jane? Where can people find out more about what you do?
So I am from EnglishCreamTea.com. And that's our at English Cream Tea for Facebook and Pinterest and all of that, at English Cream Tea. And it's not complicated. I'm Jane at EnglishCreamTea.com. So, yes, do get in touch. We love to hear from people. Also, we run competitions and fun stuff on Facebook. We did one a little while ago, Invent a New Sandwich. And there was a lovely prize. We got some amazing ideas, although one person didn't quite get it and they submitted cheese and pickle. I went, no.
I think that's already been invented.
Yes, I think I've heard of that one.
Oh, no, I'm definitely.
Getting that connection.
It's been wonderful to have you on. I just feel so joyous now and connected, so which was, yeah, the purpose. So please do connect with these wonderful women. And I promise you, when you follow their social media, you will get very hungry. So it's been an absolute pleasure, and take care, both of you.
Oh, likewise. Thank you.
Thanks, Lucy.
Thanks, Jane. Bye.
So that's another episode done. Don't forget to buy the book, Leader X, subscribe to the podcast and sign up to the newsletter at www.3wh.uk.com. That's the number 3 in the letters W and H. And now I call on you to step up, take control and lead with impact. Follow and subscribe so you don't miss out on another great guest. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Leader X podcast. The Leader X podcast is a Gifted Gab production for 3W.